Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The expression, the burden of the Lord, is used extensively in the Old Testament. For example, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Habakkuk 1:1. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach, and Damascus shall be the rest thereof. When the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. Zechariah 9:1. The word burden means to lift, to bear, and to carry, and denotes a load or a burden. Usually, the word involves the imposition of a burden by a master or an overlord or a deity. In some cases in the Old Testament, the word means a thesis or an argument. I have explained the word burden because of its use in the following passage. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask you, saying, What is the burden of the Lord? You shall then say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 23:33. The people, the priest, and the prophet had no excuse for asking what burden. They had the prophets which God had sent among them with his message of repentance and redemption. If the people had to ask what burden, it meant they had not been listening to God's messengers. Their hard-heartedness and insensitivity made it clear that they were not following the will of the Lord. If the people responded by asking what burden, God was going to forsake them. Not many years after these words were penned, the Jews were carried into Babylonian exile, where they were disciplined for 70 years. The word burden is not used in the New Testament in the way I have described. The word burden does appear in the New Testament, but does not have the same connotation as it does in the Old. But the significance of the concept appears often in the New Testament. That is, that God has a message for the people of the New Covenant. He expects us to listen to His Word and to obey it. Romans 6 tells of the conversion of the Roman Christians. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:17-18. Paul asks a series of questions in the Roman letter. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:13-17. The message God wants the world to know today is one of salvation through Jesus Christ. We must know about His incarnation, His miracles, His parables, His sinless life on this earth, His death for our sins, His resurrection for our justification, His glorious second coming, and the salvation which is ours through Jesus Christ alone. When we have told people about Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for the sins of the world, we must inform our hearers of God's way of saving us. Acts 22 tells about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Saul believed in God's word. He repented of his sins. And then he met a preacher who asked him, Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Paul explains that those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That, dear friends, is the burden the Lord has given to this age.